Darren Haynes. Darren, I understand you are joining us from something called a landline. What is this weird fangled technology you speak of?
You know, it's a rotary phone even, you know, you dial it two, four, no, anyway, no, I'm going old school. I'm an old guy, Peter. I'm an old guy. I like the old school. This isn't a party line, at least.
Yes. No, and I'm just young enough to not have had to deal with rotary phones, and I have zero idea how any of those worked. So I'm happy I just missed out on that technology.
Yeah, anyway, so I saw a payphone the other day, though, when I actually saw someone using a payphone, and that kind of was somewhat startling. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, that's a blast from the past, for sure. The reason we have you on today, mainly just to make me feel better about the Flames' defensive woes right now, as all of a sudden things looking good, at least at the NHL level. You have a young defenseman who we're all expecting to graduate to get some top-line minutes. You have a second pairing that was rock solid last year. We're expecting that again this year. And a couple of young defensemen who can fill out the bottom pair on your top six, and everything was fine. And then Juuso Välimäki has to go out and explode his knee, and now all hell has broken loose. Is it as bad as I think it is? Because I'm starting to get a little concerned about the Flames blue line situation.
Well, it's not great, for sure. You know, I mean, it's less about what they're losing from the team last year, because he only played 24 games, but I think it's all about the kid's potential. And they really like this guy. There's a reason he made the roster to start last year. There's a reason he was in the playoffs. He got into the playoff games at the end there. This is a guy who's going to be a top four, if not top pairing defense for this organization for a long time. And, you know, they're really excited about what they had. And that was going to be one of those areas where this team could take an incremental step forward. I mean, there's a lot of angst around, you know, regression and guys off career years. And where is that going to be made up? Well, it was going to be made up with guys like Välimäki taking kind of his, Brad Treliving would say, a bigger bite of the apple this year and playing more. So yeah, it's a when that news kind of crossed the wire yesterday, it's unfortunate, and he's a, you know, you feel for him, because you know, he was really excited the way last season ended to get in. He soaked up that experience playing in the playoffs, and you know, he was going to make an impact this year.
Well, and that from a personal level is the part that's almost heartbreaking, where he deals with an injury, doesn't make it back to the NHL team until late in the year, and then shows right away that he is ready to just plug and play, and you can trust him in playoff situations, and now he has to start from square one all over again. It really, your heart breaks for the kid.
Yeah, no, and it's a tough injury. I mean, not nearly the same level, but I tore my ACL probably 13 years ago, different situation, and I was at a different age and different place in life, and I never did get it repaired. I just wear a brace all the time for sports, but it is, that knee becomes so worrisome, like, because it's, so you got to get it fixed, and it's a long mess. And part of the reason I didn't have surgery is because of how extensive the rehab is. Time-consuming, difficult, a grind, very grueling. And as a young parent with a kid playing, you know, seven-year-old hockey, I didn't want to miss all that and spend a year rehabbing at my place in life. But that was the warning, and I think that's what they say. It's a really difficult injury and a real tough one to come back from. You know, and I think he'll come back and he'll be fine, but it's going to take a while.
So Darren Haynes, tougher than Juuso Välimäki. That's what we've established on the show today.
No, there you go.
For Välimäki now, part of the heartbreak is he just dealt with an injury last year. Is there any concern that this might be a player who, for lack of a better term, might be a little injury prone? Is there any concern with that here?
I don't know. Those terms, I'm not a big fan of those terms. You know, it's not like a shoulder that keeps popping out, right? Like, I think there's sometimes injuries that can become chronic. Bad backs is another example. I wouldn't put that label on him just yet. I'd just call him unlucky. You know, okay. That's two different injuries. You know, you hope that's not going to be the case, but that's the risk. And, you know, you talk about, you know, injuries and they can just happen. You know, you look at what's left behind, and that's where we kind of get to the situation now. And what do the Flames do? you know, Mark Giordano and Noah Hanifin and Flames fans, feel free to knock on wood right about now, have both been remarkably healthy the last 4 years. Just looked it up, and they've each missed just a handful of games combined. So they've been pillars in that lineup. And if there was a way they could guarantee that's the situation for this year, then the Flames are probably good, and they could absorb the Valimaki injury without issue. They've got Shillington, they've got Brandon Davidson as a kind of a veteran journeyman guy that's got like 160 games in the NHL, so they've got a little bit of depth there. But I think you can't count on that. If a team fancies themselves as a Stanley Cup contender, and when you just finished second overall and won the West, that's what Calgary thinks, you can't go into a season where you're an injury away on that left side from having Shillington in your top four, Brandon Davidson in your lineup. That's just, it's too risky. So I would expect to see a veteran, one of those guys that are kind of languishing out there and still unsigned, very cheap deal, but just some depth. I think I would expect the GM to bring in a little bit of depth just to have a little bit of, and then maybe not to play ahead of Shillington, but just to have some depth just in case.
That's where my concern comes in now, because I'm with you. Like, you can't have as nice of a surprise as Oliver Shillington was last season. If he's playing top 4 minutes for your team, it's not great. But this team doesn't have enough salary cap space to figure out what they need to get figured out internally as it is. Adding another contract becomes kind of difficult to do. How do you see the Flames being able financially to manage all of this now?
Yeah, I'm thinking still. I mean, they've got, you know, first of all, we don't know what's happening with clearing out space. You know, if there is still, you know, as it stands, I think if you do the math and you're looking at kind of a 22-man roster, they've got, as the math that I worked it out, is they've got about $8.5 million to get Tkachuk and Mangiapane signed. That's okay, and that's just to give them the, but that's, then you're running right at the cap. So I think there's probably not a comfort level with that. So if there is an idea in mind, and they have maybe a plan B, maybe there's something they're sitting on to eventually move someone like Michael Frolik out just because of the cap hit that would clear up, then you've got more space. You've got more space to work with Tkachuk and what he's looking for, and you also have some space to add in. There are defensemen out there that kind of fit that profile of veteran guys that I can see. Two names that come to mind. Joe Morrow, a guy that's kicked around the NHL a little bit. You know, he's someone that's, you know, he played with the Jets organization last year. Someone that could probably be brought in on a $700,000 league minimum, maybe $800,000, that kind of a deal. Even David Schlemko, people will remember him from his kind of cameo with Calgary, a guy that's been bought out after last year. So those players that are bought out typically can be had for cheap because they've already got some buyout money coming. So there's another veteran guy that this organization has had before. So that's the kind of thing where, and that's not, if anything, you're saving a little bit of money because Valimaki's cap hit is not going to count, and these guys will probably come in under that. So I think you can replace that spot, but just you're not going to probably bring in anyone high profile.
Do you think, assuming they bring in veteran defenseman X, is it still Oliver Shillington's job to lose now, that third spot on the left side? Or do you think we'll have a pretty open competition in training camp?
I think it's going to be a competition. I mean, I don't think Oliver Shillington has not done enough to be handed a job. So it's going to be his to win, not his to lose. But I think they'll be comfortable going with him as they did last year if he earns it. This organization has never been one to want to hand jobs to guys. This organization was there, go back, you know, a decade and further. But recently, they always like to bring in competition. And sometimes that competition is stiff, and sometimes it's not so stiff. You know, you think about the Nicholas Grossmans and those kind of guys that have come in. But I would expect it to be kind of advertised as an open competition. And if you're Oliver Shillington, don't just assume you're on that third pairing, or you may be on the second pairing in Stockton.
Chatting with Darren Haynes of The Athletic here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Shifting gears a little bit, you go into the Okotoks Dogs game tonight. Game 3, season on the line. You're going to be taking it in. I know you've been in attendance for a few so far this year.
Yeah, no, I haven't missed the playoff game yet, and absolutely pumped up about it. I would have liked to actually my next trip be the final, but they lost last night, as you've been talking about. And no, it's a great experience out there. I love it, and it was a super exciting game the other night with the walk off win. So yeah, looking forward to that. Baseball's on my radar, Peter. They had the 25th anniversary of the 1994 lockout yesterday, so a little bit of. Moments of reflection for an Expo fan like me, just thinking about the year that went away. And my poor Twins are not in first place anymore, Peter.
I know. Cleveland coming out of nowhere. All of a sudden, the Twins are going to be in a wild card game. What happened?
I know. It's not great, but Cleveland's playing, what, 700 baseball for the last little while? That's not sustainable. So I'm keeping the faith.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that. It'll all work out. 25 years later, is that, I would imagine that Expos season being lost still stings a little bit, hey?
So good. You know, and that was the beginning of the end, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, you'd love to go back and rewind. And if they went on, I mean, they had a, I think it was a 6.5 game lead on the Braves. And the Braves were the team to beat that decade, right? They were winning the NL all the time. So that was the year. And who knows? Do they go on the World Series, maybe win the World Series? Like, is that team still in Montreal today? So that was the beginning of the end. And it's certainly unfortunate. You know, hopefully one day baseball back in Montreal, but probably not anytime soon.
If they went back to Montreal, would you hop right back on the bandwagon, or are you firmly entrenched with Nelson Cruz and the Minnesota Twins now?
Well, I did follow them to Washington. So I, for every Twins hat, I have a Nats hat as well. So if they went back to Montreal, it would be interesting, but I think I'd probably be all in, because not really a Blue Jays guy. So if I can be a Montreal guy, I'm there.
Well, I won't hold that against you. Darren, thanks for doing this today, making us feel a little bit better about the Flames blue line situation. Enjoy the game tonight, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Sounds good, Peter.
There you go, Darren Haynes from The Athletic.